What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Wolfpack Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Clemens. Here with me, as always, are my two co-hosts, Michael Plant and Mike Bonney. What's up, guys?
What up?
Not much. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Special Tuesday night edition of the podcast.
Why not? It's the off season. And yep. The content's good content. Even that.
Nice use of words there, man.
Even that's good content. I'm not afraid to laugh at myself. Are you?
But yeah, a little bit.
Terrified.
But what we're bringing to you guys tonight is us at Fantasy Six Pack did a 12-team Superflex Dynasty Startup mock draft.
PPR.
Yep, 14 rounds, two running backs, three receivers, one tight end, two flex. LaPlan, are you going to pull up the draft board?
Yeah, do that thing.
Yeah, well, I was kind of hoping you'd go through the draft order first.
Let's do it.
They can see it.
Start it off.
Our guy here, Ike, he's at Ike2121 on Twitter. He had the first pick, and then we got Jeff Trella at JTrella20 at the second pick. Three is Jason Beckner at JR Bex. Fourth is Dave Eddy at Corporal Eddy. Five is Ryan Kirksey at Kirksey Sports. Six was Michael Plant at @BeLike_Mike with two eyes. And the seven hole was John LaPresto at the John LaPresto. In the eighth spot was our fearless leader, Joe Bond. He's at @F6P_Joe. Ninth spot was Garrett Ball. He's at Garrett BFF. 10th slot was Mark Strasburg. He's at Mark Strasburg on Twitter. 11 was Dennis Sosik. He's at Call Me SOS. And then myself, I was at the turn, and I'm at DClemens2222 on Twitter. LaPlante, want to run us through the first round here?
Yeah, but before I do that, if you're going to join Twitter, guys, get a more creative name than DClemens2222.
Come on, man.
Why? It's a classic.
How is that classic?
What's better than four twos?
Is there 2,221 other DClemens on Twitter?
That is weird that you have 2222 and I have 2121.
Yeah, totally weird.
but so on and so forth. We will move on. And I'll zoom in here a little bit.
Things that makes you so special? Be like Mike. You stole that from a commercial.
If I could be like Mike.
You know what?
You're literally nothing like
that's copyright infringement.
That is not copyright infringement.
Yeah, we'll take it up in court.
All right. Let's see that lawyer. Ike went pretty chalk with the first pick on Josh Allen. No surprise there. He's not afraid to take any risks ever.
What else am I going to do?
Just an awful
Patrick Mahomes.
Pick.
No.
But then we got Jeff going with Patrick Mahomes. Joe Burrow at the 103 was
that one's early.
A little shocking ahead of Herbert, but you know what? Everyone's got their opinions.
And Lamar, to be honest.
I won't lie, I would have never done it myself, but I can understand the appeal.
Keep going through so I can rip on you for taking JT at the 106.
Yeah, hey, like why?
I mean,
you should have took Kyler.
Why did I need to take Kyler?
We're talking dynasty.
Quarterback.
We're talking dynasty here, Mike. And how many miles that Jonathan Taylor has on him. I'm just worried that you're going to have him for three seasons, and then you're not going to have him when you could have drafted someone like Kyler Murray, like I just said.
As
your quarterback that you're going to have for 10 years.
He's only been in the league for 2 years.
Come on, you know they used and abused him at Wisconsin too.
Yeah,
we live in Wisconsin.
I understand that, but we're talking NFL miles.
Yeah, he's still got a lot of tread on those tires, and then it worries
I understand your worry. Honestly, my only worry with him is the passing game. Sure. Naheem Hines has gotten a lot of hype out of training camp, so that's my worry. And to be honest, we did this before that. But either way, typically I usually go the quarterback route. Actually, last year I went with Kyler Murray in a lot of my startup mocks, drafts for Dynasty. But in a mock, I like, you know, going against grain a little bit, see what can happen, see what I can get, you know. And that's the whole point of a mock, is to kind of go that different route and see if you can, you know, maybe draft a little bit later QB and not have to be so heavy on the stars.
Mm-hmm.
But then we got LaPresto taking probably the last QB. Well, actually skipped over Kirksey. He got Lamar Jackson because you wanted to rip on me so badly for Jonathan Taylor.
It's justified.
John LaPresto coming in with Kyler Murray, probably the last tier one quarterback that should be drafted. Oh, wait, but then, there's Dylan at the last pick getting another quarterback.
Idiot.
What?
We got Joe after Kyler Murray taking Ja'Marr Chase.
Let's stop here. Are you guys taking Ja'Marr Chase over Justin Jefferson?
No.
In Dynasty,
I'm not.
I can justify it.
Why?
Higher ceiling. He's younger. We just saw in his first year he had 10 touchdowns.
By like a year, he's younger. By the way,
it's younger is younger. I don't care if he's 50 days younger. He's younger. You're gonna argue me on that?
Let's go.
Let's go. He might even be the same age.
Whatever. Prove it. I can justify it. I guess it's what you're looking for. Are you looking for a ceiling or are you looking for a floor? Because Justin Jefferson offers more of that floor.
I mean, they both have high ceilings, man.
I think Jefferson has a higher floor and higher ceiling.
One has a quarterback named Joe Burrow, and one has a quarterback named Kirk Cousins.
Don't hate on Kirk, man. Quarterback 11, three straight seasons.
Look at Jefferson's numbers last year.
Okay, if Kirk Cousins doesn't have a ceiling, how can he offer a ceiling to his wide receivers?
Oh, because Justin Jefferson's an absolute stud, and he's the complete alpha.
Look at his numbers last year, man. Mr. Consistency.
That's what I'm saying. He's a solid floor. But great safety valve.
We're nitpicking right now.
It is nitpicking.
I wasn't trying to turn this into a big fight.
It's just a ceiling versus a floor.
Literally
situation.
Splitting hairs.
Well, you started a fight.
I did. Like, what do you think about Kyle Pitts at the 110 in a dynasty startup?
Early. This isn't tight end premium, is it?
It is not tight end premium.
Yeah, super early then.
But we are talking about the tight end one for Dynasty. So, I mean, it is a bit early for the first round, but it is near the end at the 110. So I would never do it myself, but I can see the argument for it.
Not with Najee Harris there, Christian McCaffrey, Javonte Williams.
Do you want to talk about Dynasty and the amount of years you're going to have him? Najee Harris is your choice, huh?
Yeah, Najee worries me too.
I don't care. It's not tight end premium. So why would you take a tight end?
Go ahead, Mike.
Because tight ends are super valuable. Once you get past the top tier, yeah, you can get a tight end one at tight end 10. But
with Marcus Mariota as your quarterback for at least this year, and who knows for the years above, so.
Yes. But the volume
you can miss me at that,
dude. Only scored one touchdown last year with it 130 targets. You expect him to get only one touchdown again with 130
with
targets?
We're not
talking about your boy DJ Moore here.
He at least gets five every year.
I believe it's four.
All right, moving on.
Joe coming in. I'm here. Careful what you say about his picks, guys.
We're already talking about the Ja'Marr Chase over Justin Jefferson.
And he's coming in with Chase will have a better quarterback
His
career for longer. So,
right. Yeah.
There you go. Also, Davis, LaPresto knows what's up. I'm guessing he must have liked that Kyler Murray pick. But, yeah, so past that, Najee Harris. I think it's, you know, solid value at the 111. I don't like his long-term value, but it looked like, you know, Dennis did not want to go heavy QB in the early rounds. But then we rounded off the first round here with Dylan's dumbass.
Why do you hate my Dak pick so much?
Man, you're just feeling it, huh?
What a Dak
pick. I could ask you the same about my Jonathan Taylor pick, man.
I gave you my
What's
reasoning.
His other quarterback?
No, I gave you my
What's his
reasoning.
Other stack you'd want him to take? If he wants to go stack.
Why does he need to go stack?
No, even would you.
Why take... not just go best player available?
Who was that? It's... Christian McCaffrey?
I mean.
I didn't want to go running back here. I kind of just went over the whole running back thing with you when we were talking about Jonathan Taylor. I thought CD was the best wide receiver.
So why not go get Cooper Kupp and CD Lamb? You're telling me Cooper Kupp was the best. CeeDee Lamb was
Cooper Kupp. Cooper I don't Kupp. Like his age for Dynasty. That's yes, the only thing.
That's what I was going to say as well. CeeDee,
that's why I fell to you where he is.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb's 4 years younger than Cooper Kupp, I'm pretty sure. And ceiling is just so high for him, man, being the number one option in that offense unquestioned now, besides Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, but he was the number one last year, even when Amari was down and wasn't playing.
1A, 1B.
And I do really enjoy stacking my quarterback and wide receiver, to be honest with you.
No, I get that strategy. I just, in my personal opinion, I think you reached a little bit.
You would have rather took
what one up
than CeeDee Lamb right there?
Lamb, I think. I think he reached on Lamb. I actually do like I don't like where you drafted Prescott, but considering where the draft fell, look how many quarterbacks you had go early. I could understand you wanted to get, you know, that last fringe tier one quarterback.
So much. I think which receiver besides Cooper Kupp would you have rather had me take? Would you rather had me take AJ Brown?
No.
Cooper Kupp.
But his age.
Okay, here's how it works in Dynasty. You're not guaranteed anything. One of these players could have an ACL tear or an Achilles tear, and they're not guaranteed to tomorrow.
Well, no shit. That means every
how you should view Dynasty, how you should view Dynasty is by 3 years at a time. If you think you're getting CeeDee Lamb forever, Dylan, you're sorely mistaken. He's either probably going to get traded on your team before he ever gets to the end of his career, because you're going to find someone else more valuable for him, or he possibly.
Well, in 3 years, Cooper Kupp's going to be 20 or 31 or 32.
And CeeDee's
all right. Yeah, that was the first year.
And CeeDee Lamb's going to literally be in his prime, smack dab in the middle.
And that was the first year Cooper Kupp was used as a wide receiver one in the offense.
And now he has to deal with Allen Robinson, Cam Akers coming back.
Deal with it? You mean get help from?
It's not like he's going to see last year.
He had Van Jefferson opposite of Cooper Kupp. So Van
Jefferson.
Get the van.
Let me talk.
In the van.
You have Van Jefferson opposite. You know what the defense is doing? Doubling Cooper Kupp every time. And look what he still did. Now you have
Allen. Don't you think that help out Allen Robinson more than Cooper Kupp?
Yeah. And when they realize they can't double
Cooper Kupp. No shit. That's what I'm saying. Cooper Kupp's not going to do what he did last year.
Can I talk?
No.
You asked me a question, but you won't let me answer.
Did I ask you a question?
Yeah, you did.
I don't know if I did.
Oh, my gosh. What was the question again? Because now you got me all riled up.
I don't know. I didn't ask a question, I thought. And you said I did.
Mr. Moderator, Dylan.
I'm lost now as well.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, let's just move on to the second round.
I'm just going to say, you know, stick to ethics, Ike. If someone else is talking, don't interrupt them.
I don't like what you're saying.
But, yeah, the rest of the second round after I went Lamb, Javonte Williams went, then Strasburg went with Christian McCaffrey, and then that was when we finally saw the next quarterback go was Russell Wilson. Deshaun Watson was the next pick. A little sketchy with what's going on with him, but we did do this a couple weeks ago. So Jalen Hurts was the next quarterback at 2-6. Then Cooper Kupp, DeAndre Swift, A.J. Brown, Austin Eckler, Joe Mixon, and Dalvin Cook to end the second round. Is there anything that sticks out in your mind, guys, here in the second round? Any reaches, any great valleys? What are we thinking?
I like Jalen Hurts. Where he got him.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little biased, but I personally like Cooper Kupp, you know, middle of the second round. That's good value, even if it is a dynasty draft. But the only thing I kind of question a little bit, Joe, and you can harp on me for this because I know Dylan's too much of a bitch to bring it up. Deshaun Watson was drafted a little early, in my opinion, because
said that.
Oh, I did you?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you go into a little bit more detail about it?
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
We kind of know. I mean, there is a suspension looming. All right.
I would assume so. I would hope so.
Now, Ike, you're not a lawyer, so you don't know much of the details. But yes, the assumption is he's most likely going to get a suspension. You know, for how long we don't know. What you know, that's for all the lawyers and litigation to figure out. But if that's the case, we're going to lose games and value on him this year. And when you're drafting early, you want safety and security. Yeah, I know you want to reach for a ceiling, but you can lose those rounds really easily in the early rounds. And if Deshaun Watson doesn't play, you know, for the first 4 to 6 games, and you're relying on, you know, it looks like Derek Carr is your QB1, you very well could lose 3 out of those 4 to 5 games. And, you know, now you're clawing yourself back, you know, just from fighting for this year. You know, you might be good for the rest of the year, depending on, you know, how this all plays out. But I just figured it was a little earlier. You could have gone maybe with, you know, Jalen Hurts, Trey Lance, maybe. You know, Trey Lance has the job long term there.
I do like that he went with Derek Carr, who's about as safe as
yes
could be.
It's just not ideal for,
yeah,
you know, a QB1. But as his QB2, that's perfect. Mm-hmm.
We got a question on this thing.
Yeah. Trace wants to know redraft, to a half full PPR. Let's give our opinion on both, I guess.
I think that's what he means.
Darnell Mooney or Marquise Brown?
Oh, that's a really good question, actually.
I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
Someone probably wants to think, or Ike, do you want to take the lead on this?
Mine'll be easy. I was going to go Marquise Brown both. I just think he's going to be really good this year. He's got Kyler Murray, and I hope the deep ball will work between those two.
He's got 6 games without DeAndre Hopkins on the field as well with the PED suspension.
Yep.
He was targeted a lot last year too.
He was. I don't know if we're gonna see that many targets though. Like last year, we saw that Mooney, I want to say, had 147 targets. I don't think Marquise
wasn't Brown close to that too.
I think he was with the Ravens, but
he had 140 some targets.
The Ravens threw it. I don't see him getting 140 targets in this offense, especially with DeAndre Hopkins offense, coming down.
In an offense where they throw the ball more than the Ravens normally do.
Ravens actually threw the ball a lot last year.
I know, and they throw the ball more than what the Ravens threw last year normally. Mm-hmm. And you don't think he can reach the same targets when DeAndre Hopkins is going to miss the first 6 games.
No, I don't. You still got AJ Green there. You still got Zach Ertz. I think they're going to try to integrate more using the tight ends too, after they drafted, help me out,
Trey
McDuffie. McBride. Yep.
Trey McDuffie's a cornerback, but nice try.
Say what I said.
Yep.
But I think I would still lean Marquise Brown just because those targets are much better coming from Kyler Murray than Justin Fields, even though we're hopeful for Justin Fields.
I personally would go Marquise Brown both ways. I think one, Marquise Brown will get more targets than Darnell Mooney, even though Darnell Mooney is the number one target. Marquise Brown's going to be the number one target for the first 6 weeks. And who knows, if he does well enough, he might be the number one target for the rest of the year. It depends on how well he does in those 6 weeks. But he's playing with his college quarterback, just like Davante Adams is with Derek Carr. And, you know, there's bright things ahead for them. Why can't there be bright things ahead for Marquise Brown? Marquise Brown is a small, you know, more of a slot receiver. All right. That was playing in a physical run first offense in Baltimore. Maybe he just wasn't the right fit. Maybe they reached on a guy that, you know, because they needed a wide receiver so badly because they just lost Sammy Watkins. And I can't even remember who was, you know, the wide receivers after that, but maybe they just reached on a wide receiver and it was never really a fit for the scheme they want to run there. But now he's in a spread offense, just like his college team in Oklahoma, just like Kyler Murray played in. I think there's tons of potential, gobs of potential, especially when you have 6 weeks missing DeAndre Hopkins. So I think I go Marquise Brown both.
Yeah, so I think it was a clean sweep. I do love me Darnell Mooney, though, for sure.
Yeah,
he's a good,
great breakout candidate. Davis wants to know, what's our projections for Darren Waller?
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. He's still tier one, obviously. He is the number one or the number two tight end option, or just option on an offense, like a Travis Kelce, like a Mark Andrews, like a Kyle Pitts. I think his volume will go down a tick with Davante Adams now there. Davante Adams,
I think he's more of a low end, maybe.
I'd put him at tight end four. I'd put him after Kelce, Andrews, and honestly probably –
Damn.
Okay. I might put him. It's between him and Pitts, in my opinion, at 3 and 4. But I'll go with a safety of Waller over Pitts.
I wonder where I have him in the rankings.
If I had to rank them, end of season stats though. Ooh.
Can't help you there. I haven't done projections yet.
I was going to say, I have not done the projections yet, but I can pull up what he's had in past years. All right. So last year with only 11 games, he had 93 targets. So about 10 targets a game. You pace that out for 17 games. You get 170 targets right there.
He ain't getting that. Just
mentioning Brian Hartline. He ain't getting, awesome.
He ain't getting that with Devontae Adams, but to see him get, 140 targets, Devontae Adams get, upwards 140, 150 targets. And then, Hunter Renfrow is the one that scares me.
I have him ranked
the most because he was so safe and he was the guy that Derek Carr checked down to when he couldn't find Darren Waller first. But now he's going to be looking Devontae, then Darren, and then Hunter's going to be the last option.
And Waller was hurt some last year. And
so yep.
Renfrow is such a good route runner. He is even seeing all the red zone targets, caught all them touchdowns and stuff.
No. But
how about the mention of Brian Hartline down there? You guys see that?
I missed it.
Yep. No, Davis. Davis coming in with some facts. Going into the third round, make it real quick. Ike with Mark Andrews, Jeff with Jalen Waddle. We had Devontae Adams go next. Trevor Lawrence taken for second quarterback for Dave. Trey Lance, second quarterback for Kirksey. And then I picked go ahead.
Are you guys wavering it over Trevor Lawrence at all? Or do you like his upside coming into this year? And do you still like his dynasty value moving forward?
Quarterbacks have by far the longest dynasty value out of any position. He had a bad year with Urban Meyer. I think they noticed that and they fired his ass right away. Yeah. I'm not wavered, but am I taking him over Trey Lance? Probably not.
Mm-mm.
Then he had LaPresto with DK Metcalf. And then Joe taking Breece Hall, the young RB. Probably going to get, most time out of any of those running backs in that area around Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara. So kind of like that pick. I was curious when we were doing this when he'd get drafted. But then you had Kamara next, Stafford for the first quarterback for Mark. And then Dennis came in with the solid value in the third round of Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm. Just going to have him for maybe a couple years.
Same
with my Derrick Henry pick right after, but I felt like I had to go running back. And just looking at the board, he was, in my opinion, the best.
And
that's tough with him and Kamara. But with Kamara, Kamara went before that.
Yeah, you had like Barkley, Nick Chubb to choose from, Cam Akers, Antonio Gibson. So, I like it. Derrick Henry was on pace to smash all running back records, it seemed like, last year. The thing is about Derrick Henry, he was behind DeMarco Murray his first couple years in the league. Like, everyone thinks he has so many miles because he's had these back-to-back 300 carry seasons, but he didn't do that in the beginning of his years in his career, so he doesn't have as many miles on his legs as you'd think he does.
Love Derrick Henry, especially in redraft still. We can't predict injuries. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to be the beast he has been. And this team traded away AJ Brown, obviously, so they're going to be even more run heavy, if that's even possible, it seems like.
Yep, even Davis said, same thing as me. Might last till 30. People forget that he barely got used in his first 3 years. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Davis. Justin Fields.
I was going to say, you guys hate my Justin Fields pick right there. With like Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson, Tua Tagovailoa.
I'm actually surprised you didn't take Tua.
I suppose you could have took Derek Carr, I guess.
I do literally like Tua, and I'm sure that's why you're surprised. He's got all them weapons, but I don't know. I got faith in Justin Fields, and it might have been a little bit of a homer pick.
It is a little bit of a homer pick, but if he can get it together, he has the upside to be, a Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Stephon Diggs.
I like that value a lot in the fourth.
Yeah, fourth round, early fourth. That's great value.
Same with Lopresto getting Higgins here in this round, man.
I like that. It
gets you all sorts of excited.
Yeah.
Yep, that's Zach my guy. Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, then T. Higgins with John. Then I managed to snag Tua with my QB1. It's not great, but, I mean, he has QB1 upside, so I'll take it. Deontay Johnson, great. I think that's – I mean, it's a safe pick. There's no ceiling there. But, like we said, you're wanting to not lose in the early rounds, and that's a very safe pick.
He's young, too. He's good.
Yep. Nick Chubb, the other guy you could have maybe gotten other than Derrick Henry. He's only because I would have maybe argued the age for him. You get probably some more years out of him, but even he gets less passing work than Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
and don't give quarterbacks after Mac Jones.
Let Dylan go, and then I'll answer your question.
I actually really like Nick Chubb, too, and I feel like recency bias is kind of killing him because he's also struggled with injuries the last few years. And like you said, he doesn't get the passing down work that goes to Kareem Hunt and stuff. But, Mike, who knows if Kareem Hunt's still going to be on the Browns roster by training camp and preseason the contract to D'Ernest Johnson. We saw how good D'Ernest Johnson was last year, too. Yep, why do they need all three? I don't. It's weirded me out. I don't know if they're trying to, if they're waiting it out, if they're going to trade Kareem, but I don't think it makes sense. If they cut him, I want to say they save $6 million. I want to say.
What makes more sense? Cutting a good player from a team that wants to be contending or keeping a good player on a team and having an overabundance of them?
Yeah, I hear you. And they might, all they have, if Deshaun Watson's suspended, that might be their best option is just to run all three of those guys into the ground.
We see now that running backs really can't make it through a full season.
Yeah.
All right. So having three of them that are really good that you can trust and rely. I mean, I'll take that. But you know, if they hope to be contending, you want all the good players you can get. But Ike, you were talking about Mac Jones. Any quarterbacks after him?
Mm-hmm.
Man. Whoo.
It's
Tom Brady was the next quarterback. It looks like two rounds after him. Damn. But I can understand it. He's young. He's the second quarterback for Jason too. It's kind of like a Derek Carr pick.
Very high floor, but his ceiling is 15. It's
super capped.
15 to 18 points.
So for your QB2, that's a sneaky good pick, and he's young. Then you got Saquon Barkley, and then Ike rounded off the fourth round with Tyreek Hill.
I love that Saquon value right there too, man. That offensive line is better. That offense is going to be better as a whole with Brian Daboll coming over. Yep, you'd like to think anyways. Yeah. It's not effing Jason Garrett calling plays for you anymore, you know? As long as Saquon stays healthy, and that's obviously been his thing. You know, last year was a freak injury of him stepping on somebody's foot and rolling his ankle, you know, stuff like that. But in redraft, I want Saquon Barkley on my teams this year, and I really like him at the 411 in a dynasty draft.
All right. And then Ike had Tyreek Hill, and again, picking his boy, like always, DJ Moore in the fifth.
T. Higgins is my guy.
I get it. But you can't just forget about your guy. I mean, I didn't forget about my guy, Mike Davis, that you guys constantly give me about.
Mike Davis.
Then we got George Kittle. I think that's pretty solid value. I mean, in the fifth round, looks like he is tight end four to go off the board. Solid value. You got that tight end position locked up for at least another 3-4 years. Then we got Cam Akers, Tony Gibson, Michael Pittman, and J.K. Dobbins was my pick. Quick little blurb about J.K. Dobbins. Yes, he's coming off the ACL tear. We'd like to think, you know, with the ACL tears, everyone's going to come back nice and healthy, which, I mean, everybody usually does. And if he does come back nice and healthy, guys, he is in for a big workload, even with Gus Edwards getting the workload he is. So I think that's solid value for him. I know – Dylan thinks this is solid value for Terry McLaurin at the 5-7.
I like the next pick even better. That's hot right there. Travis Etienne at the 5-8.
You're such a
dude, man. I'm all in on Etienne this year.
My only thing is you're betting a lot of draft capital.
No, not at the 5-8, you goof.
You could have somebody like David Montgomery, Mike Ew. Evans.
Don't show Aaron Jones. Draft David Montgomery.
No, man.
Okay.
Again, with his college teammate, they're lining him up in the slot. They're gonna get him the ball any way they can. James Robinson's banged up. What? Snoop Connors is back up. It's like
Snoop.
Snoop. but yeah, I love ETN. Great pick, Joe. There.
Yeah, I'm afraid of him not having it downplayed yet, but. Next is Treylon Burks, Montgomery, Mike Evans, Kenneth Walker, Keenan Allen as the start of the sixth. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Goat.
Solid value as always, going late in dynasties, but great, a QB1. You just good luck, Dennis, trying to get your quarterbacks in the future. Good thing that's just a mock and you don't have to worry about it. Then we got Tom Brady's connection, Chris Godwin going after him, Aaron Jones. Jerry Judy.
Hold on. Sorry to pause you here, but I do like Mark waiting on wide receiver until the sixth round and him being able to come away with Chris Godwin. I do like that. Even though he's coming off the ACL, that's still pretty solid.
Yeah, he's put up wide receiver one numbers. Tom Brady can support two wide receiver ones. It's just you got to be able to make up for that lack of production you're going to have
in the beginning of the year. I'm looking at the draft board right now and two picks under the Godwin pick for Mark and Mike Williams. I know we'll get there at the 8-3, but what happened right there? At Mike Williams at the 8-3.
Did he go after Chris Olave?
Mike Williams at the 8-3 is phenomenal. But
yeah, that is good value.
But keep going, Mike. Sorry.
even Davis said it himself. Why did Mike Williams?
Yeah, thanks, Davis. I'm looking at that like, I think we messed that one up.
I think it was just the way the draft fell. I think people, the way they were going with the wide receiver heavy in the middle, that 3-4-5 position.
But Keenan Allen should not have went two full rounds before Mike Williams in Dynasty.
Yeah, Dylan.
I'm not sure. I personally like Keenan Allen better. I think he's safer.
You don't know why he did it. You don't know why Keenan Allen went that early.
No,
Dylan's the one that did it.
I didn't say I didn't understand why Keenan Allen went that early. I said I didn't understand why he went two full rounds before Mike Williams. That's what I meant. That's not okay at all.
I at this point I'm gonna who are you gonna blame, the guy who stole Mike Williams or the guy who kind of reached?
I'm gonna blame Williams? All these other assholes who didn't pick Mike Williams either. All you guys let him pass too.
I didn't need him.
But yep, Aaron Jones, Jerry Judy, Elijah Moore, Darren Waller, again decent value in the sixth round right there. Now Josh Jacobs. I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of gets shunned this year in Oakland with all the weapons they have now. Garrett Wilson, Mari Cooper, Leonard Fournette.
Fat money.
Yeah, not a much long-term value there, but, to get him in the late sixth round. And then I kind of get a steal right here with Marquise Brown.
Your team's pretty good, just looking at it. I know you had the 1-1, but look at that, LaPlante. You kind of got to tip your hat or headband like Ike's wearing, but you kind of got to tip it to him.
I mean, congratulations. He's got DJ Moore.
He's got the he's got the smallest wide receiver core in history.
He does. They're fast though.
They are very, very fast,
but we'll move on here. Cause he managed to get Zeke in the seventh round, which I mean,
awesome too. All in on
that. Zeke. That's good value. It's not, great long.
I didn't want to
value.
Take him, but I looked at his age and then he's still young.
He's,
I was like,
he's
what
26.
The hell?
You know, he's as old as Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. He seems old though, man.
He doesn't miss games even when he's got a torn PCL, it's
get over it.
No, he's awesome. I hate all the Zeke slander. Stop it.
And then this one kind of shocked me a little bit. Drake London.
I'd take Bateman over him in a minute.
Well, no, as the it looks like the third rookie wide receiver, no, second rookie wide receiver, Garrett Wilson got taken before Drake London. It must have been just a preference there.
Ike did that in our Dynasty six-pack league.
Sure did. I don't like Drake London. Oof. I don't know why. It might be personal beef.
I think it is personal beef. I mean, it's not I hope you meet him one day. Tossing the football around either.
But. I hope you meet him like Nick Kroll does in the league, Antonio Gates in the sauna, and he just tosses your ass out.
I'll never be in a sauna, so I'll probably never see him in one. But
but then we got a life.
No, I want to talk to Ike about this a little bit. Why would you do Garrett Wilson over Drake London? Is it the quarterback play? Because we're still not sure Zach Wilson's good either.
No, I just think Garrett Wilson was better in college. So I'm assuming he's the better player. The only thing about Drake London is he's tall.
Yeah, and he's the number two option behind Kyle Pitts in that offense.
With Marcus Mariota. I'd rather have Zach Wilson than Mariota, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean we know Mariota's not good. We're probably pretty sure Zach Wilson's not great.
And see what you're not
right.
He could still be fine.
He could be fine, I suppose.
Yeah.
What you're not thinking about is the future here. All right.
Future.
Falcons are set up very nicely to fail for next year, which sets them up for an early draft pick for a great QB class.
Going to draft CJ Stroud.
And then who has the better quarterback, Drake London or Garrett Wilson?
Depends on how Zach Wilson does.
Exactly. If Zach Wilson shits the bed this year, I think we're going to go with the quarterback. The Falcons.
Well, no, you can't do that because it's a rookie who's never played before, so you have to wait another year.
I mean, people liked Zach Wilson more than Sam Darnold right away.
Which they were fair by saying that. Sam Darnold was pretty brutal.
If Zach Wilson's the same way, you can be fair by saying
it's not that hard to be better than Sam Darnold, though.
Dave, it looks like Davis is with you, though. Like, he said Mariota's the king of 0,000.
That is funny.
You're slacking a little bit on the comments right now, man. They're firing in here.
I can only go so fast with them. And first of all, I'm not going to pop up every comment.
Okay. But if you want to, I'll continue the draft. I'll continue the draft if you want.
Go for it.
After London went, we saw Elijah Mitchell, TJ Hockenson, Rashad Bateman. Like I said, I think I would have went. Yeah, that's good value. I would have went.
I like Rashad. The next one too.
I think I would have went Rashad Bateman over.
I like AJ Dillon too. Jesus.
Cortland Sutton, AJ Dillon, Devonta Smith at the 7-8. Man,
like that.
Who was a mid first round rookie pick last year as well. Mooney at the 7-9. Awesome pick by Garrett right there. Olave at the 7-10. And we got James Conner. And then I go with Dalton Schultz and Gabe Davis. And if you checked out the team previews that we did at Fantasy Six Pack, you guys all know how I feel about Gabe Davis. Sky's the limit for that guy. You guys agree or no?
Yeah, number two option in a Josh Allen-led offense.
Yeah.
Potential and ceiling's pretty high.
And then I also I stacked my tight end with my quarterback and wide receiver. What do you guys think about that strategy? I already kind of mentioned earlier that I like doing that. Are you guys
going cowboy heavy?
Yeah. Are you okay with that or no? Or would you like the offense to be a little better?
I mean, if I'm gonna stack some, but if I'm gonna triple stack like you, I'm more gonna stack the wide receiver, running back with the quarterback, not the tight end, unless it's like a Mark Andrews, a Travis Kelce. Mm. A top tier. I mean, Dalton Schultz did finish as tight end one last year, but he's clearly out of that tier one. So, I mean,
clearly take it easy.
He is clearly. Come on.
Really? Okay. All right.
I mean, if he does it again this year, he can prove us wrong.
I feel like he's just got 10 touchdown upside, right?
Yeah, he's in a good offense. Yep, and that's what you look for these tight ends that aren't in that, number one tier is high upside offense. Go ahead. I was just gonna say, Kirk Cousins, your boy,
is Mr. QB2. Safe. Yep, I love it.
Yep, and then we talked about already Mike Williams. So far, I think honestly, kind of the steal of the draft.
That's 100% the steal of the draft. That's even though I, like I said, I'm not a huge Mike Williams guy because he's super inconsistent, man. But when he booms, he absolutely wins you weeks.
Yes, he does.
He's young too. I want to say he's 25, 26. And And Keenan Allen's efficiency numbers have gone down the last couple of years. So pretty soon here, Mike Williams, I feel, is going to be the number one target in a Justin Herbert-led offense, which is what you love to see for sure.
Yes, sir. And then
he's 27.
27. Okay.
That's older than I thought.
Yeah.
A couple more tight ends here picked up off after Mike Williams, Dallas Goedert and Pat Freiermuth.
Muthman.
Then we got another rookie wide receiver taken, Jameson Williams. Ryan Tannehill, another safe quarterback. That was taken by yours truly. Then James Cook afterwards.
So your guys' take on James Cook. I want to hear it a little bit, and then I'll give you mine.
His value is going to go up and up every year, it seems like.
Kind of sounds like a stock right now, kind of like AMC stock when we were going through COVID. It's going to shoot through the roof eventually. I don't expect Devin Singletary to be the running back for this team, you know, in the future.
There's no chance he'll be able to carry full workload, though.
But he's going to get all the passing down work.
Yes.
And that's what we like in fantasy. In
PPR, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in an offense that's going to score a lot.
Hell yeah.
And like they use round 2 or 3 draft capital on him. The draft was
a couple
months ago. Yeah, it's round 2 or 3. Yeah, so you know he's going to come in, and they're going to want to use him right away. They have, you know, they're going to have a package of plays where they're going to want to just get him the ball and let him go.
Davis said, like Bitcoin.
But yeah, after that, after James Cook went, DeAndre Hopkins went, Juju Smith-Schuster. Amon-Ra St. Brown, the end of the season, darling, guys, went all the way at the 8-11. That's pretty good value from Jeff right there, too. And then you got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Man, has his value taken a tumble.
Yeah.
All the way to almost the 9th round. And then Ike went Brandon Ayuk after that.
Oh. Davis brought up a good point, but we haven't got there yet, so I'm going to save it. All right, after Amon-Ra St. Brown, because Dylan, I can't disagree with it. The only thing maybe I could bring up is now they just got more mouths to feed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the talent. I mean, he finished with the likes of Davante Adams, Antonio Brown. The way he finished last year, his target share was, I believe, 30%+. And that's main reason why he did so well. I mean, that's a target share like Davante Adams had last year.
And it's just the comfortability with Jared Goff too, you know. They got all that continuity at the end of the year because they had to when it was just pretty much him out there and Khalif Raymond.
Yeah, Khalif.
Yeah, and TJ and DeAndre Swift, but yeah.
Craig Reynolds in the backfield and stuff.
But then we had Clyde Edwards-Helaire, drafted by Ike, running off the 8th round. He's starting off the 9th round with Brandon Ayuk. And then this is what Davis came up with. Allen Robinson might be, you know, there's a good argument that Allen Robinson could be the steal of the draft right here. I know he's a little old, but
he's not. He's younger than Cooper Kupp.
Exactly. Yeah. He is younger than Cooper Kupp. But he does have, you know, more years in the league than Cooper Kupp. So more miles on him is your argument against Jonathan Taylor. You can have that argument against wide receivers as well. But yeah, no, great value. He's playing with the best quarterback he's played with in his entire career by a mile. I think the ceiling is a little higher with Mike Williams than Allen Robinson.
Yeah, but I lost my train of thought.
Was it about Allen Robinson and Cooper Kupp?
It was. The thought that people really think that Allen Robinson just lost it last year.
Oh, that he's washed.
Like that's been floating around, and I couldn't disagree more. I'm not saying this was a good thing that happened, but he pretty much quit on the Bears.
He did. Year.
That's what happens. Happened. Nagy scripted him out of the offense. There were some weird stories that came out about that. Nagy was an interesting cat, to say the least. And Allen Robinson was just completely checked out. And
yep, absolutely.
I And that's coming from a guy who watched every single Bears game as a fan last year. And he's not washed, guys. I promise. He's going to be perfectly fine in this Rams offense. And he's got wide receiver two upside all day in that offense, in my eyes. And you just got, and whoever drafted him, Jeff, you just got that in the 9th round. And he's 27 years old.
Yep.
It's just outstanding.
Said at least another 2-3 years. Depending on honestly how long Stafford stays there. Then we got Russell Gage.
That's great too. Love Russell Gage, especially.
Oh, no, that's actually my fault. I jumped ahead, way ahead here, guys. Whew, that's
yeah, you did.
Actually, next pick after that, it was Damian Harris, guys. Then we got Miles Sanders.
Yep.
Then we got Christian Watson from Green Bay, another rookie. Hunter Renfrow going in the 9th round, you know, finished pretty close to wide receiver one last year. Obviously, there's going to be some volume, you know, going down there with Devontae Adams now there. Still pretty solid value, 9th round. Then we have Sky Moore in the 907.
Ike.
Tony Pollard.
Ike.
Yeah. What?
Is Sky the limit for Sky Moore in this offense of the Chiefs or no?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
That hype train's going too.
Great analysis.
I haven't seen much of him play. I don't know how I'll do with Patrick Mahomes right away, man.
There's just a lot. I mean,
compete for Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce.
I was gonna say there's not a lot of great mouths to feed anymore in the offense. Like there, I mean, when Tyreek Hill and stuff.
Dylan, you're getting called out right now.
A little bit, Joe. A little bit.
So right, Joe. So right. You read him like a book. But yeah, I know. I mean, sky is the limit in this offense. Being with Patrick Mahomes, being with Andy Reid, sky's not going to be the number one target. Juju's going to take most of the Juju and Travis Kelce are going to take most of the attention.
I forgot about Juju too.
And you got MVS there, Hardman, you know, like you said, Ike.
If you find yourself,
he's the guy that's been on the offense the most, though. All right, then, Kelce.
If you find yourself being like one of our friends here, like Ike, and forgetting about the players on the Kansas City Chiefs, just I wrote a team preview on fantasysixpack.net.
Nice,
it wasn't very good.
Nice,
go check it out. You can find about all those new additions to that team, draft picks, all that, free agents. Because some people might
with
not know
very
about
little you. Information.
And you know what? It's more informative than I don't know.
But and then after Sky Moore, we got Tony Pollard, which is good value there. Everyone loves themselves some Tony Pollard. Brandon, I'm just gonna get 1,000 yards receiving no matter who my quarterback cooks went at the 9-9.
Davis General Mills.
I love that. I love that too. Damian Pierce at the 9-10, Cordarrelle Patterson. Kareem Hunt at the 9-12.
He's a wild card, man. Cordarrelle Patterson, that could be great value in the 9th round. I mean, you're not going to get longevity probably with him, but
you legitimately.
He is already 30.
That's a wild card.
But he doesn't have. You want to talk about a guy who doesn't have any tread on his tires, like is Cordarrelle Patterson, who just kicks for
that's
years.
Because he just decided to get good last year, apparently, or something like that.
I don't think that's how talent works.
It does. It just clicks on sometimes.
You really have no clue what Cordarrelle Patterson's going to give you this year.
No, you don't.
Like you were just saying, Mike, he is the wild card in every draft coming in. He could go.
I don't want any part of it.
If you tell me that he's going to get the same workload he saw last year, all right, I'm going to draft him in this third, fourth round in redraft league. But they're talking about making him just more of a wide receiver now. They're not going to give him any carries. Then I don't want anything to do with him. So it's
not really, no, because that's someone else take value. Him.
Yeah. But I like, what do you guys think about Christian Kirk in the 10th round?
He's fine.
Like the third highest paid receiver in NFL history, Christian Kirk.
Like they're gonna see what the Jaguars can do.
Like they're gonna use him. He's gonna line up in the slot. You know, that's kind of a blankie for Trevor Lawrence right there. I just like it. And we know he's very solid. He's not ever gonna give you huge weeks or so, but I feel like he's gonna get the target share that's gonna give you consistent wide receiver. I want to say consistent. Let's say high end wide receiver three. I'll say
there you go. Yeah, that's fine.
I'll be conservative. I wanted to say wide receiver two, but I don't.
That's low end wide receiver two at best, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in the 10th round, I will. I'll take that all day. Michael Plant, you're muted. I'm not sure you.
Yeah, no, I know I am muted. I was letting you guys talk since you guys don't let me talk.
Yeah, good.
But then after I'm not going to let you talk. Let me
there
talk.
You go.
After I went Kirk, old man Adam Thielen went. Devin Singletary, Josh Dotson, Michael Gallup, Rashawn Stevenson. Michael Thomas. All right, let's stop right here, Michael Plant. Michael Thomas. I get it. It's the 10th round, but I literally don't want that goon on any of my rosters. So how did you feel picking him right here?
I understand that. And the same way you feel about Michael Thomas, a lot of people feel about Allen Robinson.
I hate that.
Tell me if
that's
true.
They both kind of did the same thing.
They gave up on their teams last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's coming back healthier.
And Michael Thomas has proven that he can actually be a wide receiver, top end wide receiver one.
Yeah, he's finished as the wide receiver.
I mean, with Drew Brees throwing him the football, that might have had a little bit of something.
Yes, there are more mouths to feed with Olave there now.
And Jameis Winston's throwing the ball to him. We like Jameis, I think.
I think to see, you know, it's looking upwards toward Jameis. He's in the right situation. Like, let's be honest. If you put Jameis, on the Patriots with Bill Belichick, would you trust him?
No.
You wouldn't trust Bill Belichick, one of the greatest coaches of all time?
No, I wouldn't trust Jameis Winston.
Well, we're not talking about Jameis Winston on the Pats, Mike. We're talking about
Jameis Winston. I'm saying he's in the best situation of his career. Most weapons he's probably ever had outside of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Dennis Allen is his coach, and Sean Payton's no longer there.
Dennis Allen is a departure of Sean Payton. He literally was, you know, the assistant for Sean Payton. The almost, I get it,
but he's not Sean Payton.
Congratulations. Great analysis.
and we're not sure Mike Thomas knows how to run any route besides a slant either, right?
Fair enough.
I mean, slant, if that girl. Is true, slant if God. That is true, that's an easier pass for Jameis to complete.
That's true. He'll
just whip it in at 100 miles an hour, break his finger.
He don't like that. He's going to be sending it deep to Chris Olave.
I understand you want nothing to do, but when you are drafting, you know, with the options of Chase Claypool, Alan Lazard, David Bell, George Pickens.
That's brutal.
Jalen Tolbert, Kadarius Toney, Tyler Lockett, Russell Gage.
Gage isn't bad. I like
Robert Woods. I mean, Michael Thomas is the only one of those names that can still be a wide receiver one. He's proven to be a wide receiver one. So.
Alan Lazard can't be a wide receiver one.
Dumpy.
I'm a Packers fan, and I'm telling you right now, he's not going to be a wide receiver one.
Right on.
Joe is calling me out right now, so you know.
I
understand.
He
is not offensive minded. I understand that, but neither is Bill Belichick. That's why he got an offensive coordinator.
Oh wait, Bill Belichick didn't get an offensive coordinator.
Josh McDaniels.
Who's their offensive coordinator now?
No, I understand
Joe Judge.
In previous years, when Bill
the judge, man.
Handled the defense, they got an offensive coordinator. All I'm saying is, if they get a good offensive coordinator, Dennis Allen's not going to be calling.
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure who the OC is for the Saints. We probably should know that, but I don't.
All right, but I'm just going to kind of
rapid fire through
the rest of this real quick because there's not really much value here at these late rounds, but. Like you said, Chase Claypool after Michael Thomas, Michael Carter, Alan Lazard, David Bell, Matt Ryan finally goes off the board, last pick in the 10th. Dalton Knox with Ike finishing up his 11th round pick. Tyler Allgeier. And yes, Ike, that's how it's pronounced.
Dawson Knox over Cole Kmet. Ike, how could you?
Better offense.
Yeah.
I get it. I can make an argument for both with the volume. Yeah. Then we got Chase Edmonds after Cole Kmet, Mike Gesicki. And then, you know, I said, screw it. It's a mock draft. I went with another quarterback, Kenny Pickett. after Ryan Tannehill and Tua. That way I can bench Tannehill's ass if I ever need it in this hypothetical.
I mean, you're not going to be able to bench Tannehill and Kenny Pickett sitting on the bench behind Mitch Trubisky this season.
Dylan, you were a Bears fan when Mitch Trubisky
I'm all in on Mitch being the starter this year, man. To me, it doesn't make any sense to play the rookie like Joe and I talked about on the Steelers team preview. The Steelers defense is ready to win a Super Bowl.
You're right.
We've seen Mitch be able to game manage behind a really, really good defense, and Mitch took the Bears to the playoffs in 2 out of 3 seasons, and they should have won a game in the playoffs. If
Cody, do you think Parkey Mitch took them to the playoffs, or that really good defense you're talking about took him to the playoffs?
Are you listening to what I said? I said Mitch game managed behind that defense to take him to the playoffs. Mitch can do the same thing for the Steelers. And this offense is much, much better than what the Bears' offense was.
But I don't think the defense is as good as the Bears was.
The last game manager that I can think of winning a Super Bowl was Peyton Manning at the end of his career. Otherwise, it's been a star.
And I think this, and that was with a great defense. I think the Steelers' defense is really good.
Oh, Joe calling you out again. But, I mean, I think this is how it's going to go for the Steelers. And like everything, this is just an opinion. Like you said, Steelers are a Super Bowl contending team. At least they think they are.
The defense, yep.
So they're going to roll with whatever works for them. They're going to roll with probably Mitch first. He's got the experience. He's got the games underneath him. And they're going to probably throw him out there first. And if it works and they're winning games, you're going to stick with it. Why change it up if you're winning games? But if you're losing games, I can absolutely see them going to Kenny Pickett early and often, because I know you're saying Kenny Pickett's a rookie, but dude was a fifth-year senior. He's got plenty of games underneath his belt.
He's a partier, man, for sure.
You know what Mike Tomlin doesn't do, though, Mike LaPlante? It's lose football games.
It's true. He's going to do whatever's best for the team. It's a Bill Belichickian approach, which, I mean, if Mitch can game manage and not turn the ball over, it's probably going to be him. Mm-hmm. But first sign of him turning the ball over and making dumb decisions, Kenny Pickett's going to get his chance. They drafted him in the first round, guys. Noah Fant, next after Kenny Pickett. George Pickens.
Oh, my bad.
Isaiah Spiller. Davis General Mills. Dylan's boy that he likes to hate on, Jameis Winston. My boy I like to hate on, Carson Wentz.
I didn't love that pick. I do remember I wanted Davis General Mills to fall to me there.
Yeah, that's very upsetting to even get sniped in a mock. I know that pain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then you had Rashard Penny in the 12th round, Jalen Tolbert, Brian Robinson. Another steal, honestly, Melvin Gordon in the 12th round here.
Yeah,
if Davis is still listening, he's probably pumped up about that. he's a Melvin Gordon guy.
Good, man. Melvin Gordon's the homie.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Rashard White afterwards for Tampa Bay. Kadarius Toney, Tyler Lockett.
That's pretty good, too.
If he had Russell Wilson there still.
No, Kadarius Toney.
Oh,
he's still really young.
They just drafted a wide receiver in the second round. There's like talks.
He's like the same guy.
It is like the same guy.
So, I mean, here's my thought with Toney. Is he's one of those wild cards like a Cordell Patterson. Because this guy, you see him on the field, he's electric. All right. He kind of gives you that Tyreek
Hill Odell feeling. Vibe.
I know you kind of can say it a lot, but the guy is amazing in the open field. But the guy doesn't stay on the field. He also has kind of maturity issues. So he could very well be on this team the next year or be cut the next year.
I'd see Kenny G get cut before that.
That's very well possible as well.
Bounce back year for Kenny G coming.
Then we got Daniel Jones after Tyler Lockett, Russell Gage, Robert Woods, Malik Willis, Nyheim Hines, Alec Pierce, James Robinson, DJ Chark, Jared Goff, Alexander Mattison.
I like the dart throw at Ridley there. At the 13-8. You got to wait on a year, obviously, but dude's a stud, and he's probably going to be playing on a better team next year, if I had to take a guess.
I feel like Chiefs, you shouldn't have two wild cards on the same team with Cordarrelle Patterson and Kevin Ridley.
That's true. That's true.
I took Gus Edwards myself. Ronald Jones was taken afterwards. That could be a solid pick in the 13th round if Clyde Edwards-Helaire can't stay healthy again. And then there's that Kevin Ridley pick. Tyler Boyd is another solid pick right there. You know, great floor, no ceiling really. Zamir White. Keontae, thank you. I want to say Kenyon. Keontae Ingram, Rondale Moore, and then go ahead.
I end up with Rondale Moore in everything I do. It annoys me.
Except when you trade his ass to me the Dynasty Six Pack League. Because I wanted to unload McLaurin on you.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got KJ Osborne, Jacoby Myers. God dang it. Now I'm forgetting on. Isn't it? It's not Smith. Irv Smith. Thank you. For some reason, whenever I see I. Smith, I see Ish Smith from the Philadelphia 76ers. I just said Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah.
He's on the Wizards now.
Is he?
Yeah.
And then you got Desmond Ridder, Marcus Mariota. I know it's, you know, whatever is whatever. Marcus Mariota is probably going to be the starter the full time this year. Get him in the 14th round, a starting quarterback for 1 year.
I don't think the whole time, Mike, they're going to go to Ridder at some point.
He's going to get hurt.
You're just going to see Ridder just because they're going to be like, fuck it. Let's see what he can do. Because maybe there's literally zero chance they're going to win games this year.
That's true. I mean, it is very well possible. They
probably have like the least talented football team.
It's gross.
It's but Michael Pittman, right just now, a bunch of guys.
I can tell you right now, they're trying to establish a culture there in Atlanta. And do we know if Desmond Ridder's a leader? I mean, yes, all the reports, you know, went towards he's a leader, but not the NFL. Exactly. Now it's the NFL. So, I mean, yes, if he does well in training camps and all that and preseason games, yeah, I think he can eventually see some time. Then we get Daryl Henderson, Tyrion Davis Price. God dang, that's so hard to pronounce. And I don't even have the full name to work with. Marquez Valdes-Scantling. LaVisca Chenault, Kenneth Gainwell, Kenny Galladay.
There he is. Almost Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then rounding off our draft with Mr. Irrelevant is Khalil Herbert for the Chicago Bears going to the homer. Mike.
Man, Khalil Herbert could be okay. If the Bears run a two-headed monster kind of similar to the Packers do with Aaron Jones as A.J. Dillon.
That's wishful.
Khalil Herbert. We'll see.
Joe said we finally liked
him. Like David McGurry.
Come on. I loved on your Travis Etienne pick before, man.
Go Hokies. And then, of course, go Hokies.
Yep.
But, yeah, so really quick, because we went over it real, you know, all that draft, just real quick, I just kind of want to get, you know, quick thoughts here. What do you think was the best value for your team, guys? You know, Dylan, let's start with you. Since you're all high and mighty on your team.
And make it bigger again. Man,
I don't think my team's very good, to be honest with you.
Can you make it bigger again and go to mine?
I mean, I gave you the screenshot pre-show so you could look at it yourself and you didn't need to look at this, but yeah.
My best value is probably Gabe Davis in the 8th round. I love that. And Christian Kirk in the 10th round after he just got that huge contract I enjoy.
I'd probably say Zeke.
Zeke? I mm-hmm. could probably agree with you on that one, Ike.
Maybe Ayuk.
Yeah, that's another guy whose value has just plummeted, man, in a year. But last year, he's going as a top 20 wide receiver, and now mm-hmm. he just got him in the 8th round. Yep. Dynasty startup. And the guy's absolutely like 25.
I think what the best value for my team could be, as long as he has a good year that I think he'll have this year, is J.K. Dobbins. Getting him in the 5th round. Sutton could. He absolutely could.
That's who I would say for your team, Sutton.
I like J.K. Dobbins' potential this year. We know the Ravens are going to run a lot. He's going to be the lead back. I like the potential there. So I like that for my most valuable pick for me. Outside of your team, guys, where do you think the best value lied? I mean, we kind of talked about it a little bit with Allen Robinson.
Mike Williams.
Probably the Mike Williams one.
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit with Melvin Gordon.
That's not bad.
He was, That was a solid pick in the 12th round. I mean, I'm trying to get another one here. I mean, hell, even Tom Brady in the sixth.
Yeah.
Dude will probably play at least 50.
Yeah, I think we already touched on all the best values.
All right. Well, no, I was just curious what you thought outside of your team. Obviously, we love our teams.
Outside of our teams, who had the best draft?
Fuck.
Ike had the best draft, I think, but it's cheating. He had the 1-1.
Is it cheating, though?
Yeah. Josh Allen.
I was the first one to pick a spot.
Terry Kill. That's.
Oof. I do like Ryan Kirksey's team. He's got two QB1s in Lamar Jackson, Trey Lance. That could absolutely be 1-2. I'll zoom in. He's got DeAndre Swift, which with the workload he gets could be an RB1. Absolutely great RB1. Josh Jacobs, RB2. That's all you need him to be. Then you got a solid RB3 in James Cook, which is PPR perfect. Then you got wide receivers like Deontay Johnson, Michael Pittman, Bateman. I think he's just kind of solid all around. I know the tight end, you know, position with Gesicki's not great.
LaPresto's wide receivers are money.
I was just gonna say that I really like LaPresto's team looking at it too. He killed it the first seven rounds. Going Kyler.
Running backs could be better, but
DK Metcalf, T. Higgins.
Yeah, definitely went more with that more of a kind of a zero RB approach. Not fully, you know, zero RB. But I want to say Ike's team, but I'm not going to be the same answer as yours, Dylan. And I'm going to lean with probably Kirksey.
That's fair. Ike, you got anything?
Pick 1 and 2, huh? I was saying about LaPresto's team. I like his.
Yeah. LaPresto's? Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Now let's have a little bit of humble pie. You know, Dylan, what was the worst reach you had on your team that you think you had?
Well, now I feel like shit. You guys made me feel like shit about Keenan Allen, man. Especially with him going 2 full rounds ahead of Mike Williams.
That's what this is for. This is for analysis right here. This is why we do this.
But Keenan Allen in the sixth round, it's still not bad. I mean, I don't love my Kenneth Walker pick as my RB2. I mean, I get it. He's young. He's got upside, but yeah. I think Keenan Allen, I guess.
Mike, who would be your reach, your worst reach, if you had to say one?
Not going to lie. I think I pretty much nailed it. But if anything, maybe.
How much for humble pie for Ike?
See, but Clyde's not even a reach because it's in the 8th round. You know, so that's tough.
Maybe I'm not the biggest Matt Ryan fan.
I would probably say DJ Moore.
DJ Moore, probably.
You could have gotten.
Is it over? I can't see from here.
You could have got Michael Pittman over him. You could have gotten McLaurin over him. You could have got Mike Evans over him. Mike Evans, the guy who
that DJ Moore has like whatever it was numbers the past 3 years. He's doing it with the worst quarterbacks imaginable.
The problem is he's still got the worst quarterbacks in Manchester.
Yeah.
It's not getting any better.
Okay, let's look at Mike Evans.
He's going to do the same shit. He's going to do the same shit. Terry McLaurin, he's not even going to camp. Who knows what he's going to do?
You're telling me he's going to do the same shit? Like, but you can't tell me that you ever enjoyed last year putting DJ Moore in your lineup. I can't even tell you the countless times Michael Plant, Joe, and I argued about DJ Moore on Sunday morning.
What do you mean argue? I told you I didn't want him in my lineup every week.
It was usually me who loved DJ Moore.
Still ended up like a wide receiver 17.
All right, Ike. You're
which means what's after him is even worse, like Terry McLaurin.
You're going to take DJ Moore over Mike Evans, who the last two years with Tom Brady has broken his own touchdown.
Isn't Mike Evans like 29 or 30?
Can I finish a sentence, please?
That's probably why I did it then.
Mike Evans, the first year with Tom Brady, had 13 touchdowns, career high. Second year, last year, he had 14, broke his career high again, and has 1,000 yards in each one of his career seasons. You're telling me that you're going to take DJ Moore over Mike Evans?
Records he did have
the least or the lowest target share of his career last year,
right? And still like, ended as a wide receiver one.
He did.
Pretty sure I did because of age. I'm pretty sure it's like 6 years apart. Could be wrong. I don't know.
could be wrong. I don't know.
Look, I think we should wrap this up. We're going on about an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, man. Mike Evans is 28. And DJ Moore. Oh, man.
24?
They finished 18. He's 25. So a 3-year difference.
Nice. Yes. I didn't know Mike Evans was that young.
It just feels like he's old because he's
hamstring. He's just been here forever, it seems like. Like Zeke.
Yeah.
No,
him and
Zeke
just seem like they're 30.
Yep. So, I mean, I think my worst reach.
Jonathan Taylor.
I knew that was coming. I think personally. My worst reach is because I waited so long at quarterback, I had to reach for Tannehill in the 8th round when I could have got somebody like a Juju and a Amon-Ra St. Brown, a Clyde Edwards-Helaire, an Allen Robinson. I kind of strong-armed myself.
Yeah. Tannehill could go away. I want nothing to do with him.
Agreed.
But you guys right. Cool wrapping it up?
Yep, that pretty much wraps it up. Stay tuned. We will be doing some more episodes here lately. We're looking to do them on Mondays, I believe, until the season starts. Then we're going to go back to our Friday shows. Dylan, take us out.
Yeah, guys. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit that like, subscribe button. We appreciate it. You can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, wherever. You can follow me on Twitter at dclemens2222. You can follow Mike Bonney at Ike2121, at Michael Plant at Be Like Mike.
Right underneath all of our screens there.
And we all write for Fantasy Six Pack. Even Michael Plant, he's back. His fingers work all of a sudden too. So
he does something.
My fingers work all of a sudden when I've been doing all the producing work behind the scenes. Huh?
All righty, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one, guys.